to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 420 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. This is Ed, and for this week's show, wow, we've got a full cast. So we're going to go over a couple things tonight as far as what's coming in 2022. And to help me, I've got first Melissa. Hey, Melissa, how's it going?
Hey, everyone. It feels like forever since I've seen you, talked to you, been here. So I'm excited to be back.
Well, it's a new year after all. We also have Morgan with us. Hey, Morgan, how's it going?
Hey, guys. Happy New Year. This is the first time I'm talking to you guys in the new year.
2022. I got to still get used to that. We also have Sam with us. Hey, Sam, how's it going?
What's up, Ed? 2022 is here, and it's awesome, and it's a new year. So you know what? Sometimes we look back. Sometimes we look ahead. It's just natural at the end of the year.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And if you want to look back on show number 419 and listen in on Sam's surprise Disneyland trip for the family.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
Okay. As we move forward, we're actually going to take a step backward because one of the things that we're going to be looking forward to in 2022 actually opened in 2021. Okay. It was the new Cirque du Soleil, Wow, I'm bad at that. Somebody help me out.
It's the new Cirque du Soleil drawn to life.
Awesome. And Melissa had a chance to go see it.
I did. I had seen Cirque du Soleil at La Nuba two or three times, and I was anticipating the Drawn to Life to come back. Obviously, COVID caused a little bit of a delay. We saw a preview with one of the Disney Plus shorts and definitely had to get tickets when we were going to go in December. So it was my mom, myself, and my three-year-old son. I was a little on the fence about taking him, but no doubt would I take him again. He had an amazing time. There were lots of kids there. The audience was able to interact with the cast before the show. We actually sat in the second row from the stage, which is probably my favorite spot. We've done that once before. And during the, while the cast is getting set up behind the stage, many of the cast members are out on the stage bringing people up or doing little vaudeville kind of acts and things. And so he got to be up close and see them. And I think for him, maybe it wasn't as scary then for some of the scenes because he had seen a couple of the characters. But there are so many Disney characters brought into this show, but it feels seamless. It's not like in your face and feels like it's not still Cirque du Soleil. It's a beautiful blend. Highly recommend going. We had a wonderful time. And I think it meets that new Disney motif of, you know, Disney, but with that partnership with Cirque du Soleil.
Beautiful. Have you been to that theory before on the older shows?
Yes. When I was La Nuba, yeah, I've been there twice. It's the same seating, same stage shape. It's just different backdrops and a different story.
Awesome. And when you said that characters are moved into it, explain a little bit more as far as it, like, literally, do we have Donald Duck in the middle of, like, guys on trampolines?
Yes and no. So the storyline is that there's a young girl. Her father is a former animator. He has passed away and he's left this legacy for her to find her own artistic self. And so she goes on this journey in her sleep, as kind of alluded to, and trying to find and feel confident in her artistic abilities. And while she's doing that, her guides that she has show her different characters and different stories in the Disney archives that help her get to that point. So whether it's how to draw motion or how to draw emotion, or how to show anger about something and, or buildings or weather, like those characters or scenes from movies play in. And the music also will just hint in there where you have that kind of traditional Cirque du Soleil music, but there'll be a couple of beats where it's from Frozen, or that's from Beauty and the Beast, or that's from Hercules. And so it's just enough that you still feel like you're in Disney, but you're seeing this beautiful story and these amazing acrobats.
Oh, very cool. Sounds like a great show.
Yeah, it is. Definitely go check it out.
I think it's on my list. I saw La Nuba years and years and years ago, but this sounds intriguing. And from what I've read, it's the story of Julie, and that's my daughter. So I'm going to have to go see it.
Yeah, that's a must. Now,
Melissa, I'm glad that you mentioned like where you were sitting, because I know a lot of Cirque shows, like sometimes the front is not the best seat. So I'm glad that you mentioned where you were sitting, so that way when we go, we can figure out where to sit now.
Yeah, we sat in this second row. I think it's stage right twice now. And another time we sat like in that, I think it's like the upper circle. There's not a bad seat in the house, but I really enjoy those kind of first couple of rows. They're worth a little extra money just to be able to really feel like you're immersed and see the characters' faces and they're interacting with you as well.
Very cool. Now, as a Disney nerd, I got to ask, and I don't want you to think I'm prying, but how much is a ticket?
I think our tickets were like $125 a person.
And that was for the better seat?
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. I think the cheapest ticket was maybe in the $70 or $80 range for like the higher up in the audience.
Mm-hmm. Which for a Cirque show is very, even $125 is a very good price. Yeah. For a Cirque show. So
that's very cool. Now, do they offer one show a night? Do you remember? Or is it a couple shows a night and you have some options?
Currently, it was one show. It started at, I believe, 5:30 or 6 o'clock.
Oh, that's about early.
Yeah, it's about 2 hours. So we had an early dinner, went to the show and did some shopping afterwards, and then went home and had a nice evening.
Right. So a nice Disney Springs day around it.
Yes. Right. And I think the shows at the time, because this was early December, they were maybe Thursday through Sunday. I think they took Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off maybe. But I know they were trying to add more shows. It was really, we were only like the third week in performances.
Right. And it's still coming out of the COVID. So we're still dealing with odd schedules anyway. So
yep.
Very cool. So now that was a trip that happened like around when? It was before Christmas, wasn't it?
Yes, it was the first week of December.
Okay. Anything else really stick out from that? Because you were just down there in November, so it was a quick back and forth.
Yeah, this was our first trip, one with a toddler, like a true toddler. So learned some experiences there. But also really the first time we were fully immersed with Genie Plus and the Lightning Lane. And so learning what worked best for our family and trying to figure out some of the, because we stayed off property, you know, whether we could be by this Lightning Lane, you know, ahead of park opening, or we had to wait until after park opening because of the different rules. So it was a little challenging, but we figured it out. We got to ride most of the things, you know, we wanted to. Mm-hmm. And we had a really nice time. The weather was great. Got to enjoy Remy for the first time. And that was nice. A lot of fun. Yeah.
So back to the Genie Plus, if you were going to go back in, you know, this next year, would you do the Genie Plus thing again like you did it?
For certain parks, yes, for sure. Magic Kingdom, it made sense. Hollywood Studios, it made sense. Animal Kingdom, it didn't, because we have a little one who couldn't ride many of the main attractions.
Right. Yep.
Yep. So that didn't really make sense for us. Epcot, we also used it, and that was really convenient.
Nice. So that sounds like a big yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But I felt like I kind of needed to. I didn't want to, but it was convenient.
Right. And that's what we're going to be learning. As you say, we're going to tailor it for what we need. And you're right. Animal Kingdom for a toddler really is only a couple rides and a lot of walkthrough stuff.
Yep.
So, okay. Well, very cool. Sounds like a great trip, and always fun going with the little guys. I so miss that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had a really nice time. I was surprised how much he enjoyed Star Wars. You know, he doesn't know those characters yet. He's too young to have watched anything, but he did Star Tours. He said it was really fast, but he thought it was awesome to fly in a spaceship. So.
That's little cool. Boys. Yeah, that's very cool.
I do want to say one thing before we get too far away. While Melissa was talking, I did look up Drawn to Life, and they are now doing two shows a night. So anybody going now, you have a 5:30 or an 8 p.m. to choose from.
Yeah, 8 p.m. sounds like the better time for me. But then again, like you said, with the toddlers, 5:30 is perfect.
Yeah, it was a great time because we had an early dinner. And this is a plug for Wine Bar George. I know Morgan has talked about Wine Bar George, and I am going to get her to go there. But it was amazing. And we loved the food. We had an amazing server. And it was great place to have a late dinner before the show. So consider. Yeah.
I do have a trip coming up. It is on my list, but my trip is already busy. So I can't guarantee.
That's the problem. There's so many choices.
It's true.
That's the point. You get the
good
one.
Yeah, cool. I get it.
And I'm also going for a race. So, you know, things are a little different when you're there for a race.
Yeah, that's not a food type of trip.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, very cool. And actually, kind of talking about that brings us into and the little boys in Star Wars brings us into 2022. And one of the first things we're expecting is the opening of that Star Wars hotel we've been hearing so much about.
Yeah.
What hotel? You mean the Star Cruiser?
Yeah, that's right. The Star Cruiser. It's not a hotel.
March 1st is the date they have right now. 2022 is the opening, or actually I guess that would be the launch date.
And it launches every 2 days, so it's interesting. There's availability too, so
people are booking,
but there is availability, so maybe that's what they want, right?
And sure, and we've heard a lot of different things about it in the recent weeks. The holidays, it's kind of quieted down a little bit. But right before that, we're hearing a lot of people pulling out of reservations after watching some of the promo videos and such like that. However, I still see a lot of good stuff coming.
I can't wait to hear from people that have actually done it as opposed to Disney telling us what they want us to hear, right, or showing us. That's what I'm looking forward to. We'll wait and see what happens.
This actually became like a big kind of conversation on a live show a couple of weeks. A lot of people were like, how can you pull out when it's not even open yet? Like, you don't know what you're pulling out of. And I think that
based on the price tag.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey. And I kind of have the same standpoint as a lot of us have is I'm going to wait and see what other people think. And it's kind of like new technology. Like when a new video game system comes out, you never buy the brand new one. You give it a couple times to get the bugs out. So that's kind of how I see Star Cruiser. You don't want to be there the first day. You want them to work the bugs out first.
Right.
I also worry about with COVID, and you know, maybe March is different, but are some of the experiences that we are anticipating or they want to offer us, but they're not going to be able to because they can't be too close and have some of those in-person interactions. I mean, we don't even have character meets, right? Like you're still standing. The closest we got was Mickey and Magic Kingdom, and he was behind a velvet rope, you know, kind of thing. So can you have the same experience that they built this on in this environment? And that's what I want to wait for is to see.
Does COVID exist in space?
I think you guys are spot on. It's a combination of those two things. The COVID are the experiences there, but also $6,000 for two nights. You can spend a lot of time at the Grand Flow for that money. Sure. You know what I mean? Well, and
the price is always going to be the big debate.
It is.
But it's a lot of Mickey bars.
It's the Grand Floridian for a week. Come on. Yeah.
But the other thing the other thing to think about, though, is if it is a successful hotel and it's something that everybody wants to do, by waiting to see what other people think about it and if they like it or not, you probably missed the boat for the next 2 years.
Maybe.
Which I personally, I'm okay with that. Because I got to save up $6,000.
And if it actually is that big of a hit, I know, right? But if it is that big of a hit, I got to think they're going to be either building another Star Cruiser or they will be doing something else in another theme, but very similar to the Star Cruiser.
It's interesting you say that. Can I spread a rumor?
definitely. Let's start.
So here's, and this goes back to some conversation that I've had. But if you look at the way they built this and how immersive it is, and the fact that you have these shuttles and things going on, the if this is successful, you might see an extension to the Avengers Academy in California along the same lines. Sure.
Makes sense if they get the contracts. They still have to play with that damn contract.
Well, in California, though, you can pull it off. And think about it. In California, there's no room, so they're going to have to get land someplace a little bit away and make you get on some kind of shuttle to get from that thing to Avengers campus.
So have that campus out in Hollywood, in California.
It's somewhere in California.
I agree.
That would be, yeah. So that's, you basically take this Star Wars experience and duplicate it as a Marvel experience in California. Mm-hmm. And it solves the issue of you don't have land at Disneyland because you could be five blocks away in a hotel and you know, turn that into it and then put you on some kind of shuttle that drives down I-5. That could be a little strange.
That's so hilarious. I know, but yeah.
Well, I think it'd be really simple story, right? I mean, you could be an hour away.
It's present day.
Yeah.
It's present day. And we're going to take you in this cool bus that Tony built us. And, you know, you're going to drive down and
you're going to tour Anaheim.
Right.
Yeah.
So we need Star Wars to be successful to get that in California. Right. That's what I'm saying.
And that's going to be the big thing. And you're right when you talked about the price tag. That is an incredible amount of money. That's the type of money you spend not just on a 2-day cruise. You're spending that on a 3 or 4 day cruise. Yeah, yes. It's a serious amount of time on a cruise ship. And that's ridiculously opulent. I mean, they just give you so much for that money.
Used the example cruise ship. That's what they said. This was going to be like a cruise ship.
But I don't see how that can compare, though, because we're
I get it.
I don't want to say stuck at Star Wars, but we're in that Star Wars theme where that's very limited.
I get it.
We say that now. Who knows?
I think to your point, Ed, it's limited in the sense that everyone in your group has to like Star Wars. Because I had the conversation with my mom. My mom will watch Star Wars. She knows Star Wars. And my brothers and we like Star Wars too, right? But she's like, why would I go along with you? I want to go on vacation, but I might not want to play these games, or I might not be interested in doing this. And then is it worth the money? So it's a very specific family that wants to all participate and do this for this big chunk of money on a short period of time. Whereas on a cruise, there's lots of different activities for different people to do.
Yeah, I agree.
Very true. Plus you have a lot more options, I think, as far as hotel room rates on a cruise ship. We're going to see how that goes as far as this.
Yeah.
So we will see. However, let's switch space. And we did mention Marvel. So one of the big additions coming to Epcot this summer is the Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind.
I am Groot.
Now, we've got a little bit of an edge because Sam has been all over this. He got a good look inside. He got a good look at the cars. You can go over to Sam's Disney Diary on YouTube, check out some of the stuff he has. Is it going to be amazing, Sam, or what?
It looks like it's going to be amazing. I mean, I didn't get to see any of the story elements or the show elements, but being in the building and seeing the track twisting all over the place is amazing. And I think, like we talked about previously, the big thing I got about this was them saying it's an omni coaster.
Right, our new word.
Absolutely. I'm all over it. But don't think of that in terms of an omni mover like Haunted Mansion where you're on it and it constantly is going. But think of it in the terms of in the Haunted Mansion, they turn you to position you looking at the show scenes. And that's what they're doing with this show coaster. So the coaster turns and goes, 360 degrees to point you to look at what they want you to look at. So this whole reverse liftoff, you're just facing backwards and the car is still on one track and it keeps going. So there's no Expedition Everest moment where the track switches and it goes backwards and then it goes forward. The car's going the same way the whole time. They just have you facing a different direction to see these show elements. And I can't wait to hear the story, to go into this planet. Is it the planet? It's not the planetarium. It's the universe or whatever, but it's going to be awesome.
Yep, so we're looking forward to that. They don't have an exact opening date, but with a ride like this, I got to think we're going to see some maybe soft openings in the spring, late spring, getting toward the summer.
They did take it from 2022 to summer. Now, if you guys remember, I may have lost my bet because I bet that it wouldn't be out until October the 1st, which is Epcot's 40th anniversary, part of the 50th anniversary Walt Disney World celebration. But I think it's going to be out before then, which is cool.
Well, we were actually talking on the live show this week because there was an announcement that the virtual queue for Ratatouille is gone. So a lot of people were like, well, does this mean that something is going to open soon? And they're switching their virtual queue to Tron or Guardians. And we're like, we don't know when they're going to open.
Is there no virtual queue right now?
No virtual queue right now.
There's no virtual queue.
Wow, that's a shame. I think that's something that they're kind of need to use a little bit more.
Well, there's an individual lightning lane that you can buy, Ed, versus getting into a virtual queue.
Very, very true. So they're just going to use it for overflow on big openings of new rides.
I think.
The bright side of that is that we do have a single rider line over at Ratatouille now, so that should be opened up.
Oh, that's cool. And that ride is perfect for single rider line with two rows of three.
Yes. Yeah. So very cool there. Okay, so those are the two major, major announcements of things coming to the parks this year in Walt Disney World. We do have some new DVC coming to Disney World in the Grand Floridian. So that's going to be opening up this year. They don't have exact dates, but they're bringing in 200 new studio type rooms or setups, which is pretty cool. But it's all through DVC.
Yep. And I would expect DVC. I would expect them to be kind of like the Grandestino studios that, you know, Sam got to cover the opening. Seems like just yesterday.
Yeah, similar, I would think. Although those aren't DVC, but yeah, I can.
I'm talking about that, but that layout. Though,
that layout.
I would think it would be very similar grand. To that.
Absolutely.
Are you guaranteed a kitchen with DVC, or is it still a different?
No, so
no,
there
a kitchenette.
Well, I mean, even so, a kitchenette though. So that's do you get a microwave in every DVC room?
I believe so.
You get a real refrigerator, microwave, stove in a lot of them. I don't know if it's in the smallest ones, but that real size refrigerator means a real size freezer, which means freezing your water bottles, which is so important in the heat. So important. Just to have, you know, you pack a backpack and you get four water bottles in there. You want a frozen one to put in the middle. Just helps so much.
If there's a refrigerator, then the Grand Testino studio would not be big enough to hold a refrigerator.
That's not DVC. That's but that's okay.
Well, just still being able to heat up your food, that's such a bonus going to the parks. Staying off property, that's one of the biggest perks, is that you most likely, no matter how inexpensive your hotel room is off property, you're going to have a microwave. And that makes those leftovers that much better.
Yeah, I mean, that I can definitely say, as somebody who, like, before the meetup, I stayed off property in a timeshare, so I had a full kitchen. So it was nice when, you know, went out to dinner, it wasn't all the food that was sitting in front of us that we didn't eat, it went to waste. It got packed up and it went back to the timeshare and it went in the fridge. And
the best part about having a kitchen or a fridge is that when you get back from the parks, because the park closes at 9, right?
Yeah.
You're hungry and you want to eat something. I know Jimmy has complained about this, and there's nowhere on property to get some food. That's what it is.
I have stories. We won't get into them, but I have stories from the 50th, because me and Jimmy stayed off property.
Oh, yeah.
And we stayed together. I can tell you is we never came home without food after those days in the park.
Sure.
Disney, if you're listening, in 2022, please allow us to buy some food after 10 o'clock at night on property.
Stuff open later.
But you guys are getting one of the reasons I love DVC. You get back to the room. Yeah. The kids are tired, but man, do they want those chocolate chip cookies coming out of the oven. So a must is the little cookie mixes that you make up. So, and we do that all the time. We'll buy a package of 48 of them and you make six of them a night. The kids love it. Go to sleep. Little milk.
Nice.
I like it too, to be honest.
I mean, my must have in having a kitchen in a resort, be it DVC or off property, is I get the microwavable breakfast sandwiches.
Sure.
So that way I don't have to pay, because breakfast, as we know, is you get less for the money on property. So pop a breakfast sandwich in the microwave when you're getting ready and you hit the park fully, you know.
Ready to roll. Don't have to wait for breakfast. Ed, we are so far off topic, man.
Yes.
Not at all. This is the Disney Nerds.
I was hoping you were going to say that.
Now, something I missed at park-wise is Finding Nemo. Now, it hasn't come back in 2021. It's due to come back in 2022.
Finding Nemo the musical.
Yes. Finding Nemo. Very good. And it's coming back as a new show, because they're going to be adding elements from Finding Dory. So the new show, Finding Nemo, The Big Blue and Beyond, is going to be what we're going to see. They're going to keep old songs. They're going to add new ones. So I'm not exactly sure how it's going to be, other than maybe they're just going to add a scene or two. We are going to see the Marine Life Institute, though. So they are working that in.
That's cool. I like it.
Which I feel like when they're going to, since they're going to include the Marine Life Institute, I feel like we're going to get a little conservation, like,
oh, sure.
Let's help save the oceans kind of, which I am so okay with. I have no problem with that whatsoever. But now, I feel like that's part of why they're updating is they kind of want to help give that little
that underlying connection to Animal Kingdom.
Definitely. Now, one of the really cool things about that show is the cast has relatively stayed the same from the beginning. You did have the main characters change in and out, but a lot of the background characters have stayed the same, including those two great swordfish sword fighters that always come up in the audience and such like that. I hope some of those guys come back. That was really fun.
I know one time that we were there for when we had the scavenger hunt Animal Kingdom. We went and saw Finding Nemo, why everybody was doing the scavenger hunt. And I took a picture of the cast member that was playing Crush and put it on our Instagram. And he liked it. And I'm like, Crush liked our picture. This is cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay, so a couple more electronic things coming to the parks this year. Magic Band Plus. It's going to be a new Magic Band that's going to do a lot more stuff than it did before. It's going to do the same stuff it does. It'll get you in your room. It'll get you onto the lines and things like that. But it's also going to start changing colors now and vibrate on your hand. It's also going to be responsive to gestures. So you're going to be able to swing your hand around at things as you're going through the park and do something weird. We don't know yet. Have you guys heard anything about that?
Can I have a rumor then? I feel like this is replacing, what was it called in Magic Kingdom?
The Sorcerers of the Magic
Kingdom.
Maybe.
Yeah, because think of in Universal, you've got the wand interaction. Mm-hmm. So now you've got your magic band and you do some sort of thing. And
that's a great Marvel thing you did there too. So I can see where that's going to happen.
And that's cool.
Yeah.
One thing I can I love that, by the way. One thing I can confirm is that they will interact with the 50th anniversary statues that are all around Walt Disney World. I don't know how and I don't know what, but that was one of the big things they pushed at the launch.
I wonder if they have LEDs in them that we
don't know. They will interact with those statues.
There was an artist rendering because I remember doing the post for it came out on the 50th. The first mention of Magic Band Plus, and it's basically looks smartwatch-y. So it's like, okay, well, what all are we gonna get? So I'm super excited, and I have a question to ask you guys because this is just my curiosity. So we don't have a release date for Magic Band Plus. If you are going to the park, staying on property, and all that. Before Magic Band Plus releases, are you buying a new Magic Band that's the standard 2.0?
Probably not, unless it's a cool 50th.
But if it's Darth Vader, I will.
So here's the difference, though. With the new Magic Band Plus, they're not giving them away. So I guess it's not going to be things that people have to have. It sounds like it's going to be more like just the coolness of it.
Yeah.
Because no more free Magic Bands.
Yep.
Yeah, that's one thing I was kind of thinking is because, you know, I have a trip coming up and staying on property. I was like, do I buy another Magic Band or do I just keep what I got until Magic Band Plus comes available? Because, you know, it's anywhere from $10 to $25 for a Magic Band if you're staying on property to pre-order it. You know, how much is it going to be for Magic Band Plus? Is it going to be
$50? That's going to be the kicker. 50 is probably around the range. $49.99 is
my guess. Yeah, I'm thinking 50 to 75.
Yeah.
Let's hope for cheaper. But
let's hope for cheaper.
Anyway. I got to tell you, all that said, I did not miss Magic Band at Disneyland. I used the app for everything. You touched it. The barcode came up. You scanned it. Didn't miss it at all.
Nice. Did they have good Wi-Fi everywhere?
There was good Wi-Fi. Oh, you're also in the middle of a city, right? So, good Wi-Fi anywhere. You're not in the middle of nowhere trying to get towers built. You're right in the middle of Anaheim.
Okay, so something else coming to the Walt Disney World hotels, this sounds like, is Hey Disney, which is very similar to Hey Alexa.
Is it Hey Disney? I thought you could make it Hey Mickey too.
I think it's Hey Disney, but I guarantee it'll react to Hey Mickey.
And it is Alexa, by the way. It absolutely is an Alexa device. And they touted that you can purchase the same features when you get home.
Of course.
You can buy the voice.
Of course you can. So I got to think there's going to be a lot of hidden Easter eggs in that, just like there is in the existing Alexa now. All Disney based, which that could be fun, and it's going to be so much easier. Let's hope they get new TVs and they connect them to the TVs, because that'll make life easier.
Well, it's a, it's an Echo, like one of those little 8-inch Echo devices, a dot. Well, not a dot. But
it's called a screen. Show. It's an the Echo Show. Me and my boyfriend actually just happened to get the Echo Show 8, and it kind of shows you how the whole Disney thing is interacting even at home. We already have ordered an Echo Show 5. For my living room, and the only reason why I got the smaller one is because you can get a stand that's Mickey ears.
Yeah.
So,
which is kind of cool.
They're
by the way.
Probably they're even Disney letting you Disney decorate your shows and your dots and your stuff now. So
it's awesome, cool. And you could do that with if you have one. But here's the thing I'm thinking of: every room's going to get it, as you mentioned. That's how you started the story. So you walk into your room. Hey, Disney, any dining reservations available tonight?
Yep.
I don't think it'll give you that.
That's what this is about. Hey, Disney, what park has the least crowds tomorrow?
I would love to see that type of feature, but I can't even see the website doing a good job of telling you that. I mean, they just got that good now. So we'll see. Hopefully it does that great stuff.
I don't see so much the crowds, but I could totally see the dining because, like I said, if you're doing the Echo Show, you've basically got this, 8-inch, 10-inch screen, depending on which one they put in. So you could say, hey, Disney, what's the soonest reservation I can get at, Disney Springs? And on the screen pops up,
Yeah.
So why
restaurants?
Why? That doesn't make any sense because they're making you look at a small 8-inch screen to give you the information when you have a huge TV in front of you. How they can't connect those two things.
But they might. We don't know that. They might connect it. Perfect. I could totally see them doing it.
Yep.
I just think that's cool as can be to be able to do that. Here's what I want to try the first night. Something like, hey, Disney, have Mickey Mouse wake me up at 7:30 tomorrow morning.
Yes. I was thinking the same exact thing.
That's just cool. Because, I mean, every night when I go to bed, it's like, Alexa, wake me up at whatever time. So
yeah. You see, you're going to have people going wild. You're going to say, hey, Disney, what's my bill for today? Or, hey, Disney, things like
that. I don't want to know that answer.
I don't want that one either.
But it'd be amazing if you can get that specific information.
Yeah.
Or is it not going to be private enough to allow that type of information over it?
It's a great question. You're going to have to somehow link it to your My Disney Experience account.
What if I yell through the door that's connecting my two rooms and I say that to the machine next door?
hey, Mickey, send me whatever bouquet of flowers service. And chocolates. Yeah.
And that would be, what they've got to figure out. And if it's a privacy thing, then they're not going to do it. Having Mickey Mouse wake you up and just having to lay your head down on a pillow and say, Hey, Disney, have Mickey Mouse wake me up at 7 a.m.?
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
It has a clock on it. I'm all for it.
Oh, it does. It does.
Maybe that was it all along. Ed, they were waiting for this.
They've been holding out.
Yeah.
They were like, we're not buying clocks. We got this big idea coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, guys. So now that's most of the ideas we had for Walt Disney World, what we heard so far. And I'm sure there's more that we missed for tonight.
Yeah, there's a couple of cool things coming back that I just want to mention very quickly because I'm so excited to have these back. Festival of Fantasy, Friendship Fair, Fantasmic, I just parades and shows. Oh, thank you. Coming back this year.
Right. Which Disneyland is going to take advantage of having all those big shows coming back. So that's really cool.
Speaking of things that are coming back to Walt Disney World, Sam, starting tomorrow, because we're recording on Thursday, January 13th, the Festival of the Arts will be coming back to Epcot. So what are you all excited about?
That was my round of applause there.
I have yet to be at this show, so I'm not exactly sure what to look forward to, although I would love to experience the entire thing.
Oh, Ed, you've never been?
Not to this one, no.
Oh, wow.
It's a tough time of year for me to get to, right after the holidays at Christmas. True. And it's tough to get out of school for anything in that time frame.
I think that it's a pretty underrated festival. I think it started off kind of small, a couple of years ago?
It's probably been 5 at this point. Crazy.
So 2017, I think it was the
6th year, actually.
Okay.
And I'm going to say that I think Jimmy has not missed it yet. He's a big, big fan of this one.
He's missing it this year. It's the first year you think he's missing it.
Yeah. Well, it also is his during his birthday, which makes it easy to try to schedule a plan. But Ed, you say it's not hard. There's that one holiday, which is this weekend, which is when they're kicking it off. Sure. So they're kicking it off on an MLK holiday weekend, which is also a busy week.
Oh, it's very busy. Leslie made it. She was going to offer it. We go down to Florida. She was looking to see what like hotels and flights were available. And I'm like, unfortunately, honey, thank you so much, but it's not going to be worth the trip for that weekend. It's a really, really heavy Martin Luther King weekend is a heavy weekend at Walt Disney World.
It is. And that's when this is starting. But the big thing, everybody's waiting. That's back this year, Disney on Broadway.
Definitely. And I have seen a lot of that because people are so happy to take videos and throw them on YouTube. I happen to have that schedule up here now. But, you know, I know the shows. I just don't know the people well enough. But starting January 14th is when this kicks off, like Melissa said, which is tomorrow, which is crazy. We're already getting a couple weeks into the new year. Ariel Jacobs and Adam Jacobs. Aladdin.
Nice.
Yeah. Carrie Butler from Beauty and the Beast and Telly Leung from Aladdin. January 15th. So these run through basically all of January, and it's not like they're there and they go. It seems like they're kind of hanging out.
And that's kind of been the trend with the arts festival. It's not like Food and Wine. It's not like Flower and Garden where these performers are only there for like 2, 3, maybe 4 days. They kind of rotate throughout. So you don't have one shot to miss if you have a favorite performer from Broadway. You don't have just one shot. You have multiple opportunities to see them perform.
Oh, you know what? They do it on 2-week schedules. So they're there for about 2 weeks, different dates, and then they kind of move on.
Yeah, which is cool. That's awesome.
Oh, it's awesome because you can definitely see a different show if you get down there a couple times. This isn't one of the longer festivals.
It's not. No. It's squeezed in there between Christmas and Flower and Garden. But one of the things I think is really cool here, Ed, other than the artists, which are all over the place that you can talk to and interact with around World Showcase, but the wonderful world of colorful cuisine is what they call it, because some of these outdoor art studios, which is what they call their kitchens, it's amazing the culinary things that they come up with and how just neat they look. They're works of art.
I think it borders on art and science for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Nice.
And I have to say, I do not think that's what Sam was going to pick.
Well, there's also a popcorn bucket that might be there this year. That's a little interesting for everybody. You hear anything about that, Morgan?
I have multiple resources on assignment to obtain the package.
The package is a Figment popcorn bucket, Ed.
And it's served 100%. With rainbow popcorn.
Nice.
Oh, wow. Beautiful.
Yes. That is the assignment this year.
Yes.
Sure. If they last.
And if anybody listening wants to try to obtain this popcorn bucket for me and Sam, because we both collect popcorn buckets, we are okay with that. We will happily, you know, work something out. Because this is going to be the hot commodity. Let's face it. Like, there's going to be... I'm imagining tomorrow there is going to be the longest line ever at that one booth with this popcorn bucket, because this is what everybody is going to want.
Yeah, they're going to have that everywhere, though, I bet.
One place.
I think they're going to end up sending you someplace for it. I don't
know.
We'll see
what happens. It is that one booth. I saw something, and that's how I found it. It had served with rainbow popcorn. It's at one specific booth.
And that's where it gets crazy, because you're right. There will be
And that's also so. The last year it was a Orange Bird. Was that the sippy cup or was it a popcorn bucket? That was pretty popular, and they did okay at managing it. But
yeah,
that's crazy.
And they've already said limit 2 per customer for this popcorn bucket.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Culinary arts, visual arts, which is all the artists, and also performing arts. It's a great little stroll around World Showcase with some new shows that you can only see during this time of year. So it's cool.
Very cool.
And since we are talking about Figment, what I thought Sam was going to say was the Figment scavenger hunt.
Oh, yes. The brush. What do they call it? Figment's brush with the masters.
Yeah. So every festival has some kind of scavenger hunt for the kids. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, for the grownups, too. And for the arts festival, it's Figment, and it's finding Figment all over Epcot in a piece of art or wherever. Yeah. And
it's cool.
I kind of like this scavenger hunt over the other ones because it's, Usually it's a piece of art.
Do you have to pay?
Not just the statue.
Do it.
You pay to get the stickers, and then there's a completer gift, which is really what you're paying for. And I don't know what that is this year.
I don't think I've heard the announcement of what the gift is this year.
We should hear very soon.
I mean, the previous years for other festivals, it's been patches, it's been cups, it's been, you know, the broad range. I don't need the gift or the whatever you're paying for. I just go look myself because the hunt is what's fun to me.
Right.
And you can do that. Yeah, you can just go around and look.
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay, guys, just to finish this off to be complete, I wanted to go through some of where those Broadway acts are coming up there. Heidi Blickenstaff from Freaky Friday and The Little Mermaid and Robert Crichton from Frozen start January 24th. Kara Lindsay from The Newsies and Dan DeLuca from The Newsies, which is a great movie. I haven't seen the play yet. Ashley Brown from Mary Poppins and Josh Strickland from Tarzan. Should be pretty good. And they finish up with Kissy Simmons from The Lion King and Michael James Scott from Aladdin. That name's really familiar.
Yeah, I saw Kissy Simmons at one of those. She was really good.
Very cool.
They're all great, by the way. They start singing and performing. It's like, wow. No wonder these cats are on Broadway. They're right. They're off Broadway. For crying out.
The cruise ships have the most incredible theater actors and actresses and singers and such like that come right from Broadway. And they definitely go back and forth.
And I do want to say, if you guys want a little taste of Broadway, The Newsies on Broadway, there is a special on Disney Plus that you can watch before you guys go to the festival.
Oh, perfect.
Very nice.
So for the food booths, there are a couple new ones. One of the returning is the Artist Table. That's got your beef Wellington and your scallops that we've seen in the past. Numbers of drinks, obviously lots of wine. And that has the Sipping Chocolate Flight. Have any of you had that one before?
I have. It is
it's rich.
Amazing.
It's rich.
So you're drinking chocolate is the sipping
chocolate.
I want to make sure I understood what you said.
And alcoholic or non-alcoholic. You know?
And I feel like it originated. I remember this being in the Odyssey Pavilion at Food and Wine, part of Ghirardelli's. You can get the sipping chocolate. So I feel like that's where it originated from. That was super popular. So they've now done this sipping chocolate flight. And if you haven't done it, the only reason not to do it is if for some reason you don't like chocolate. If you like chocolate in any way, shape, or form, you should try this.
So one of the new booths is the Craftsman Courtyard. And when Sam talked about the blend of artistry that's in these food booths and science, and I mentioned science, this is one of the probably most out there menus. And I mean out there like high end. So the first menu or the first item is pâté de champagne. So it's country pork pâté with pistachios, truffles, toasted ciabatta, red onion marmalade, pickled mustard seed, and cranberries.
Wow.
For $6.75. That's not a bad price when you're talking about having pâté. The second menu item is cast iron roasted PEI, which are mussels with sauteed tomatoes, garlic, and fresh herbs for $7.50. And then the cast iron seared steelhead trout with parsley salad, grape tomatoes, Kalamata olives, capers, and lemon aioli for $6.75. Interestingly, they all note that they are snack eligible. So I'm not quite sure why.
That's snack plan for the snack. But there is no snack plan right now.
Yeah.
Right. That's why I'm saying it's
actually, a little I wonder if it'll come back before we're done. That's interesting.
Yep.
It's only a month.
The second new booth is the Deco Delights. That's also where you can get some more chocolate, different types of mousses, and some sweeter beers, some nitros that are Neapolitan, strawberry, vanilla, things like that. There's the deconstructed booth that's been there since the beginning that has that classic deconstructed BLT. I've had that many times. That's very
good.
The donut box is the third new one. So obviously, just like in its name, lots of different donuts with concoctions on the top. Sam, you and I had one of the donut boxes, food and wine experiments this year with the chicken.
We sure did.
I was about to say, wasn't there a donut box booth in another festival?
Yeah, yes. It's the permanent one that's right by Test Track. So
yeah.
That one's, so but I think it is awesome that they're incorporating that into all the festivals. That's part of the move the festivals closer to the front of the park, which was one of the goals of Epcot's transformation. So they're doing it.
hey, donuts, win.
Exactly.
Very much so.
The Hungry Artist is the near Mexico. So lots of new menu items for this booth, but this is a returning one. You've got some carne asada, some chocolate tacos, and other Latin delights. Goshiki is the Japanese pavilion. They have a new dish with some fried chicken and yum yum sauce. The Gourmet Landscape is also a returning one. That is a number. They have a blood orange braised beet carpaccio with mustard vinaigrette. So that's going to be your plant-based option for the festival. And then alongside that, a roasted bone marrow option that's new, which sounds really great, and a mushroom risotto. There's the French pavilion, or the French booth also will be there. And then Italy and China and pastoral palette and pop eats. Morocco. Let's see. And then Vibrante Vivido. So that's has a lot of chorizo and different soups and things. So lots of different food options all over the place.
And you're right. It sounds very high scale. So that's very cool.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, Pop Eats booth, which has been there since day one of the festival,
yep,
has the cake that the side piece of it looks like art itself. It's like separate, like different color squares, and it is reminiscent of a piece of art, like a famous piece of art.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, that is where the Figment popcorn bucket is going to be.
It makes sense that it would be there.
Yeah.
Yep. They've got the tomato soup and grilled cheese, the tomato soup with bacon, apple, and brie grilled cheese, the almond frangipane cake, which I think is what you were just mentioning, Morgan.
Yeah.
Great cake, by the way. Looks and tastes good.
Yeah, a
cookie. And then, of course, the Figment popcorn bucket, which is a limit of 2 per guest.
How much is the
$25?
$25. Okay. That's close. Okay.
And if I'm not mistaken, the cookie is the one that you can like comes with a paintbrush and you can actually paint icing on it, which is a big hit with kids. Cause I mean,
huge,
you get to play with your food.
It's huge. It's so cool. It's the artist palette.
Yeah.
It's a chocolate chip cookie, even with a hole in it to hold it. And they give you a brush and you get different color icing to paint on it.
This one really sounds like it might not be it. It's a modern design sugar cookie with chocolate hazelnut filling. So maybe.
I'm sure that cookie's somewhere
because I feel like that's like a staple of cookie because it's always so popular with kids.
That would be just a really popular food booth otherwise. If you had the cookie and the Figment, like that line would just be too long.
Yeah,
I remember one year, and I think it was the year that I went, that multiple booths had that cookie.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So
multiple booths have it. It's. I think it's one of those things where, well, you know, it's a chocolate chip cookie. Let's get it everywhere. And kids love it, like you said.
Yeah, because I mean, if you think about it, like a lot of this stuff does sound very upscale. And if you have a picky eater, they might not want to eat the pate.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so your kid might be living off a cookie that day, you know, like they might be getting multiple chocolate chip cookies, which it's Disney. It's okay.
Yes, always okay.
My kid's going for the bone marrow, I'm just saying.
Well, like I said, there's picky eaters, and then there's the bone marrow eating kids, which is what you got in your house, you know? Yeah.
My husband will eat the cookies, and Isaac and I will have the bone marrow.
You guys are good.
Okay, so this arts festival goes from tomorrow, January 14th, all the way to February 21st, and then only a week or two later, March 2nd, begins the Flower and Garden Show, the next festival at Epcot, which goes until July 4th.
Which is crazy. It goes until the 4th.
All spring, into the summer.
That's crazy.
And then they haven't released the dates for the food and wine yet, but I'm going to guess that it's going to start in the first week of August.
Yeah, so
earlier.
Are we assuming that there is now and forevermore will no longer be a festival-free summer at Epcot?
Well, until the next, like, you know, COVID 22 hits or whatever.
Well, there's like a month with that one in the summer. Are we going straight from?
No, that's what I'm saying, because July 4th, like I said, it ends. And I kind of swear last year in July, they had Food and Wine going already.
Well, they had the Taste of Food and Wine, right, and other stuff rolled out in October.
Yeah,
it does count. You're right. Yeah. You know what? If they're selling merchandise, it counts.
So, like, I got to think that it's going to go solid festival from March 2nd until November, whatever.
Which then it becomes the holiday.
Right. Yeah. But you're right. And that doesn't, that's not even a week. That's like a day or two. And then that starts right up. So, yeah, you're right. There will be. The only time is right now, the first 2 weeks of January, and then the last week of February.
Yeah, which if you think about it, first weeks of January, the first week, you still got Christmas decor. You still got Christmas basically going on that first week.
That's right.
The second weekend of January was the Walt Disney World Marathon weekend, which is a big race weekend. They don't really need to have a festival because you've got the crowds from the race. So
no, they got it set up. They got it perfectly all timed out.
Yeah. I mean,
so very cool. So
it's super cool. And I did see, I don't know if you saw Morgan, but for Flower and Garden, while we're there for a very quick second, Garden Rocks is back.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it is.
You guys saw that. Garden Rocks is back, and we're not talking. Here's what was interesting about it. In the past, you would have your band come in. For example, Rick Springfield is one of the acts coming in. They'd come in on Friday. They'd play Friday, Saturday, maybe Sunday, and then move on. Now what Epcot's doing is they're having local bands take all the dates that aren't a headliner. So there's somebody on the American Garden stage every night.
Yep. There's like during the week, it's going to be a local band.
Yeah. Which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome for the local community.
And we'll definitely talk about the acts because they announced them today that are coming. Cool and the Gang, the Guess Who, the Pointer Sisters, the Spinners.
Good stuff, man. Good.
Starship featuring Mickey Thomas is back again. Yep. So there's going to be good. And we'll talk about this as we get closer to that festival.
Yeah.
Which is only a month and a half away. Not even.
It's crazy. We're just starting a festival and we're talking about the next one that's after it.
I went ahead and checked to see what bands were going to be there when I'm there, because I'm doing Springtime Surprise Race. So obviously I'm going to be there for Flower and Garden. So that was the first thing I did, was like, which bands do I get see while I'm there? Mm-hmm. And it's Pointer Sisters.
Okay.
And the Spinners, which I don't know who the Spinners are.
You'll know music from the Spinners. You just don't know it yet.
Okay.
But you'll know, you'll recognize some songs, definitely. And, the Pointer Sisters, that's an easy one.
And I just have to say, like, I don't know if I'm just feeling old, but when there's bands that I, like, you're used to, like, Flower and Garden is like the 60s, 70s music. Then you get Food and Wine, which is supposed to be like 80s, 90s. When some of the 90s bands are getting into Flower and Garden, I'm just like, wait, what's going on here?
That's when it was, and you're right, because it used to be the Flower Power concert series. And it was all bands from the 60s and 70s, but then they turned it into this Garden Rocks, and it's expanded their horizons.
It's messing me up, though. I have to say, it is messing me up. I'm like, wait a minute, Plain White Tees, which are playing at the end of Flower and Garden, mm-hmm, are not from Flower Power Time. Come
They're
on.
Not. Yeah.
Very funny. Cool stuff. Okay, guys.
Fine.
So there's a lot coming in 2022 to Walt Disney World and Disneyland, and we're looking forward to it like you can't believe. What do you think? Send us an email. Tell us what you are looking forward to this year. Are you going to get down to the parks? We want to know. Jimmy, tell everybody how to get in touch with the show.
Wait a minute. Where'd he come from?
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds. Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast and Twitter @thedisneynerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9:00 Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys. So that's it for show number 420 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Thanks a lot for being with us tonight. For Sam, for Melissa, for Morgan, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Kongaloosh.
TTFM. Ta-ta for now.
Have a magical night. Akuna Matata.
Mortals pay a token fee, resting.